Well, first of all, I'd like to greet you and say blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. It is good to be with you this morning, and you guys support actually two missionaries through IOI. If you don't know, IOI is an organization that started 10 years ago simply to fulfill one passage of Scripture that says in 1 John 3:16 and following, it says, if you have this world's goods and you see your brother in need and you don't have compassion on him, then the love of God is not in you. So let us love in deed and in truth, not just in words. So in an attempt to obey this, we have sought to support ministers in Ethiopia who are doing the ministry, who are faithfully proclaiming the gospel of Christ, and yet they don't have their daily needs met. And so you guys are part of this. You support Nagash personally, and you also support, I believe it's Yurga. And it is a joy to say God's blessing be on you, and may he return on you every blessing that you have given our brothers. So as Nagash comes, I want you to hear our brother who faithfully does proclaim the gospel of Christ, who plants churches in Ethiopia, who encourages the brethren. He is a faithful minister who seeks to disciple younger ministers in the work of the gospel. And so be encouraged this morning as you see what your part in the ministry is doing in Ethiopia particularly. So Lord bless you guys. And I want to say just a little word so you know where the ministry is going. We are continuing to support ministers in Ethiopia, but we feel like the Lord has put a new task on our plate. And that is to raise up more missionaries to do the work of the gospel. And we feel like the way that the Lord has given us to do this is through a ministry called Sanctuary Village. And it is a ministry in Ethiopia where we would seek over the next 7 years to train and raise up 300 missionaries to go out into the Horn of Africa in Ethiopia and also the neighboring countries. This ministry would be a village literally out in the countryside where ministers would come and they would receive theological training and discipleship. And while they're receiving this, they'll learn how to earn a trade with their hands. They'll learn how to care for their families and support themselves so that maybe after they come out of the program, years down the road, if our support ends, if something happens where we're not able to send support anymore, they're able to care for their own families, they're able to build their own homes, they're able to benefit the communities that they go to, and that goes on whether or not we can continue supporting them. So if you'd like more information about Sanctuary Village, we've got a table back here, and you can check that out and see more about what the Lord's doing in there. In that ministry. So again, Lord bless you guys, and be encouraged as you see where some of your funds are going to support the work of Christ in Ethiopia. So our brother Nagash is the national coordinator for the work in Ethiopia, and he is a joy to be around. I've stayed in his home and followed him around for several weeks at a time sometimes, and he is a faithful worker. Please listen as he brings what the Lord's given him for you this morning.
Good morning. I hope you hear me. At home, you know, we don't use mic, so I'm very happy and comfortable. You know, you can speak, roar like a lion if I have to. Well, it's a really great honor for me and my wife to come here and visit this church because you are one of our supporters, and I really want to say God bless you, you know, for the support you are really sending us, you know, genuinely and lovingly and knowing why you are really doing it. You know, people really do support for many reasons. You know, when they have some excess, you know, they said, oh, we need to give it out. When they feel, you know, just to do something good, they do it. But I believe the churches that we work with, they support us knowing why they are really supporting. That's just to advance the kingdom of God and also meet the need of those, you know, who really struggle in the daily life. So God bless you. Thank you very much. We love you. And also you support Yurga. He told me just to share this. That is, you know, his wife has some health issue. You know, she's quite often got sick, you know, and got to the hospital, but, you know, finance is a big problem to get, you know, good medical care. So I want you just, you know, to pray and keep the support. They have three beautiful kids grown up, and all they're sending them to school, so things are really getting tight. But praise the Lord, they are alive and existing and serving the Lord with their whole heart and mind. Probably you may be interested enough to hear how I became to know the Lord, how about my conversion. If you don't, you know, I can jump it. I'm really telling you, you know, the event that's happened, you know, 30 something years ago. About 3 decades. Thanks to the IMB missionary who's been sent, you know, from America, from Richmond, Virginia. Maybe you have heard his name, John Chain, was the first IMB missionary to Ethiopia with other brothers and sisters like Bertsos, Lindros, Kanatas, you know, there are just many, you know, that I even some forgotten them. Anyway, John came to Addis with his wife, and one day, my dad, you know, just lost his previous job, and then he was looking for a work, you know. So he has to go from house to house, carrying all his reference papers that he got from his previous workplaces, employers. And John was standing on the porch, as my dad just told me, so he saw this tall missionary. And then my dad just went and knocked, you know, and John went and just opened the gate, and he handed him, you know, all his papers, because they couldn't communicate, you know. My dad is not speaking English, and John not speaking Amharic, so there's no any, except sign language, that's all. So he gave him, and John just, you know, looked all the papers and says, oh, you're the right person, you know, because they are freshly got to Addis, and they need someone, you know, to take care of the compound, you know, their garden. So my dad just came and says, you know, well, looks like I got a job. And we're all very happy because we're going to have, you know, bread again on the table. Anyway, soon, just about 2-3 weeks later, you know, I start going there, you know, just to see where his workplace and also meet the people that he's, helping, you know, working for. So John had, you know, about 2 sons and a daughter with him, especially the boys. They haven't started school because they're newly got to Addis. So they're spending their time there. So they're just playing, you know, ball, and they have one basketball yard, you know. So I was throwing ball with them, you know, to any direction because I don't know how to play the ball, you know. Anyway, they're just showing me, and I was a little boy. So it was really big fun. Now, since, you know, God, you know, is really at work. I don't have any clue. But John was watching. You know, every time, you know, me and my other colleagues, you know, from the neighborhood there, going and playing with their boys, he just felt, you know, he has to do something with these young African boys. So he called one of his translators. They have hired, you know, a translator just doing some translation work. They have started. And he said, you know, next week, says, you know, we're going to have, you know, a Bible study. And I said, what is this Bible study? What is he going to teach us? And I said, well, I don't think he's going to harm us, you know. Nothing. Like, he's a fine young man, and, you know, we're coming and playing here. You know, they have really embraced us, so I don't think they're going to do anything harm, you know. So I said, it won't hurt, you know. He says, good. So we came, and I remember, and he pulled his car from the garage, and then he put a bench, and this tall, good-looking man with a deep voice, with his translator, you know, he started telling us about the Lord. Previous that, you know, I used to go to the Orthodox Church with my dad every Sunday. Sometimes we skip, you know, just as my dad feels to go, you know. So I just go with him, and we hear what the clergy is saying, and they use there, you know, at that time, a church language. It's like a Latin, so call it G'ez, and you can't understand what the clergyman or the preacher or the priest is really saying. So I see people just nodding, you know, every time, you know, he says a sentence or something, whether, I don't know whether they understood it or not. Even some of the clergymen themselves, you know, they don't really have, you know, the understanding, you know, what he's really saying. Anyway, you feel good, you know, when you go to church. I mean, in fact, these days, you know, even it's like that. I mean, people just go to church just to feel good. So I was really going. I mean, I used to go and feel good and then come back home. But I begin to question, you know, is this all about church? I mean, at this young age, probably I was like 13, 14, begin to question inside, is this about, you know, is this all about faith, you know, or religion? But I mean, I don't have the vocabulary of faith, this religion. That you go to church, you feel good, you come back, and I could not get the answer. Later, you know, when I met this missionary who shared me the gospel, I began to see not religion, but faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today also, we have so many people feeling like this. You know, they are under a religion, but they don't know faith deep in their soul. They feel good coming to church, joining the crowd, sing, clap, eat, and then go home. That's all. But faith is beyond that. It is about your soul here, you know, connecting with the Creator. So John, you know, for the first time, he handed all of us, I mean, four of us, the Gideon New Testament in our language, in Amharic. If it's in English, it won't help me anything. Yeah, because I don't speak the language at that time, you know, like I speak now. I'm still learning. I'm not really speaking that well. Anyway, so I took that and started reading. And he did, still I remember what he said, you know. He says, you know, you boys, just read this little book starting from Gospel of John. He says, you know, you will see a lot of good stuff that really keep you grow in faith. And it was truly happened in my life. So I still remember this man of God. He retired back home. I think his wife died, you know, some years ago. But one of his daughters, Betty Chen, now is a missionary back to Ethiopia. I haven't met her, but I heard that she's in Addis. I'm going to meet her, you know, when I go back, Lord willing. So well, in between, you know, there's so many ups and downs of life that you all can understand that. But the Lord, you know, who gave me this life was not finished with me. He's always there helping me. When I'm down, he's there. When I'm up, he's there. When I'm on the meadow, he's there. And I believe till I go to him, he's with me, because he promised, he said, I will be with you till the end of the time. Amen? Amen. Yeah, we all have to believe in it. Sure. And then after that, well, I start working for IMB, for the International Mission Board. At that time, it was called they called Southern Baptist Mission of Ethiopia during that time, you know, but now the name has been changed. Southern Baptist Mission of Ethiopia. So I start working there. We having a reading room, really big reading room. We started there, and then I was in charge of the reading room for so many years. And then during the famine time, that was really a terrible time in the history of Ethiopia. I hope that will never happen again. But still, you know, it just keeps coming, you know, every 9 years, kind of a cycle thing. And I'm sure you all know, some of you people have really watched on television when, you know, we have lost, you know, in a day, you know, 100 in one corner, 1,000 in all over the country. It was really a severe time in history. At that time, IMB again, they've started the famine program up north where we have had, you know, the famine really hit the whole region. So I went there to help on the logistic, but the Lord had a different purpose, not only just giving grain, but preaching the gospel. It was amazing. Even to this day, I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, when we make ourselves available, God has ways to use us in a mighty way. So, for me, it's a miracle. Because we go from one shelter to another shelter, we see lots of people just dying. Mothers, fathers, boys, elderly people, I mean, you name it. And then we give to those who are really breathing, if they could survive. Some of them taking their grain and they just die because they are almost at their last stage of life. But it is during this time, you know, we start, you know, preaching the gospel there, because still we have the missionaries and we have the local people there, you know, who have the heart, you know, for evangelism. So as we distribute the food, we also just preaching the gospel. As a result of that, now, currently, there are about over 8 churches being planted in that area. And now they are multiplying. And we have a connection with those churches. In fact, through IY, we support about 4 of the ministers from that area. Praise be to the Lord. Amen? Yeah. And in the preaching the gospel, for me, really, it's in my blood. Even here, this is just what I'm really praying every day, just to see someone and share this wonderful news of Jesus the Lord. This morning we had, you know, a good talk with one of my neighbor, Tommy. I'm living here in my son-in-law's house. And this guy, and I said, you know, are you a believer? Said, yes, I am. And I was very happy. I said, just tell me, you know, about life. And, you know, we had just, you know, talked. So finally, he came, and then before he came, you know, we just prayed. Because when you really have a burden, you know, inside here, you don't really wait to share about your faith or even ask other people about their faith. But here and in my country, we see a big difference, you know. I mean, here, you know, like everybody's keeping their distance in some ways. I don't know why, but it is what I've really watched. You know, this is my fourth time, travel to different places. I mean, sometimes we wait, you know, till someone come and ask. But in our country, we don't wait. We just go and say, Lord, whatever we need to say. Because when we leave home, we will pray. It says, Lord, give me someone that I could share the gospel. This is what we do. So, currently, I do church planting in Addis as a capital, and also outside of the capital, especially more of our work these days is really especially concerning my work and my family's is outside of the city. It's about 80 to 100 kilometers from the main city. And then once you get there, also you have to walk into the farmer's community for 2-3 hours. You take in a car. If it's not possible, you have to walk. You don't think of a vehicle. You don't own one. Probably someday we'll have, but that will not hinder us, you know, from sharing the gospel. Because he has given us health, he has given us, you know, good, strong physical body, we just walk, and then we share the gospel. In doing gospel work, we do some development too, like spring work, fixing bridge in the community, digging pit latrines, you know, for the community there, because this is just a remote area where there is no running water, where there is no electricity, but we have people everywhere. People that they need to hear the gospel. People that have been created by the Almighty God. They are poor and the worldly wealth, but many of them are rich in their soul inside, many of them, I'm telling you.
So we go there, especially some of this work we do, like the bridge work, the water work, and also introducing horticulture, having different vegetables to grow in that area as a food, you know, for the families. All this just gives us, you know, an open door, I mean, to go into the community and to welcome us. Even, you know, without doing water work or even fixing bridge, God has really shown us how mighty and strong He is. Everywhere we go, He will give us people, a man of peace. Amen? Amen. But when we see the need there is no reason to say no. When you see, feel those people need, you know, potable, clean water, I think you have to do something. Of course, we don't have the money, but we tell our supporters, like you, help us. But one thing, you know, I want to make sure here, we are not asking money everywhere we go. And I'm not here, you know, to ask you money. The first thing is just, you know, to support us in your prayer. That's very strong and powerful. When you pray, the Lord will release, you know, resources from somewhere. Even now we are starting supporting about 5 missionaries indigenously there. You know, we get support here, we give them, and those people, again, they say, hey, we need to do something. From the little they receive, they give to 5 missionaries. Praise the Lord. God, our God is really a rich God. You know, He has everything we need. He created us. He's loving us. He's always helping us. And also, we are walking in the light because of the salvation we got through Jesus in faith. So, this work we do, I'm telling you, it's opened, you know, a great door. Currently, in the last 4 or 5 years, we have about 6 churches been planted. Recently, Stephen was with me. He was in one of the newest places. I wish, you know, he could tell you how the Lord is really moving in that area. The day we went with him, we went there just to talk to some of the key leaders. Even we haven't announced it to anyone to come. Just only we want about 3 or 4 key leaders, you know, just that you're going to see them and they'll do some interview. But suddenly we saw, what, about 8, 10 people just came and asked them to say to one of the leaders, I mean, did you call the people? And after that, I said, no. And I said, God is going to do His miracle today. Yeah, because I have that experience. I'm telling you. I mean, they haven't announced it to anyone. We went on, what was the day?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. It was not a church day. It was not a meeting day. But we got there quietly. And then the church people were there, about 4 of them. And suddenly, a lady came. Her husband came, and then about another 2 high school kids came. And I said to him, I think we need to do something. And we have our brother from Ireland, James, with us, you know. And I said, hey, you guys, you know, going to share something. So we split the time, and then they shared. You know the end result? One of the lady came to know the Lord. The husband came to know the Lord. One of the high school kids said, you know, I'm here to surrender my life to the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, when we make ourselves available, and when the Spirit of the Lord says, you know, you have to speak it out, we have to speak it out. If we say, oh, you guys today, we don't really have any program for you, go home, I'm sure they will go home. But God sent them. Who am I to say, go home in peace, rather than say, come in, listen, and then the word, you know, gets into their soul, and they came to know the Lord. So we handed them, you know, to the leaders there, just to make a follow-up, and I'm sure they will do their job, and also those people will really benefit. In our call, this thing that I have really seen, I mean, when I see myself, you know, how the Lord, you know, brought me to this stage, I said, this is a lot of miracles, but If you read, you know, Matthew 11, the first thing is God, you know, he wants us just to draw his people to himself. We have to go, just come. In life. I mean, you all here, if you really want to recall, you know, your salvation day, how you really came to this wonderful God, he just called you one way or the other. Maybe someone told you about the Lord, or you have heard preaching on a TV, or, you know, in a dream, you know, you there are ways. But the first thing is just come. And then after we came to him, he gave us, you know, this rest, peaceful life. We rest in him. Say, be still and know that I'm God. Unless people come to this Lord, there is no any peace in their life. Coming to church is not knowing Lord. I assure you this. I'm sure you believe this too. That we have so many people, even you know, we have so many preachers preaching the word. I hate to say that, but they don't really have that personal relationship with the Lord. I have seen it in my own country. Probably you may have many here. So the first thing he says, God, we come to him. And then we get, you know, rest, peaceful, peaceful life. And then after we really get this rest in him, he's beginning to teach us. He called us. We came into his sanctuary. We rest under his feet. And then he's teaching us. So we have to say, yes, Lord, teach me more. We have people coming to church. But many of us are not teachable for so many reasons. We just feel the crowd, you know, we feel, you know, it's good, you know, to be in a church, just to hear the music, to hear, you know, the preaching. Okay. But is your soul is really feeding the nourishment, the food that's really coming from the Almighty God? When the Lord says, you know, I'm going to teach you, are we saying, yes, Lord, teach me? Or say, oh, I'm busy. Tomorrow. Next day. We have to question. We have to ask ourselves. Unless we are, you know, available to him, I tell you, the Holy Spirit will say, okay, it's up to you. You just go and find another person. It's after we learn, we do this great service. After we have been equipped, you know, get, you know, all the necessary teachings. When I said we learn, we are not really learning, you know, everything one time and then finish. No. It's not like you go to college or seminary and then you graduate. No. There is no any graduation in the Christian walk in life. Till you die. Always, you know, you learn and we learn. So it's after this, you know, you go and serve. So I don't have, you know, a seminary education, but my Lord is always teaching me, sending missionaries to me, brothers at home. We have so many fine men of wisdom that we just, you know, sit and then learn. You know, one of our men, we call him Ababa, father, is an evangelist. For the last 46 years, you can imagine, this man has, you know, big knowledge of the Lord. And we sit under him, and then he's teaching us. He's helping us. And also, missionaries coming from here, Brother Stephen, Patrick, and we are hoping that this church also will send, you know, some missionaries, you know, sometime soon, Lord willing. We are not really saying send tomorrow or in January, but, you know, when you are ready, and then they will just come and help my people. The youth will help the youth. The pastors will just, you know, teach the ministers there. Ladies, you know, will have also teach, you know, ladies, visiting, encouraging, just seeing, you know, what the Lord is really doing in Ethiopia. You see how your support is being used there. I mean, it's easy, you know, for us, you know, just to write or send an email, you know, sending a beautiful story. But many times, that turns to be false in many ways. We have to have, you know, you have to have a discerning spirit also to understand this. Yeah. I mean, it's easy, you know, to raise money these days, to be honest. Very, very easy. You know, we can write a beautiful story, we can create it, but God will not be very happy. But we want you just to come and see how your support is being used. What I'm trying to tell you is really on the field, going from home to home, house to house, village to village, village to village, and even interviewing people. Ways to participate, as I've said earlier, first is just prayer. We need your prayer above everything. I ask each and every one of you here just to kneel down, take time just to pray for the people of Ethiopia, for the people of the whole universe. Prayer is the key to heaven. Prayer. Visit. And the Lord just gives the time, the resource, the health. Yeah, as is not, I mean, sometimes, you know, we have people, you know, come emotionally because they have the money. No, not that way. That will be like being like a tourist, you know. No, we are not really, we don't want to see our people like a tourist. We really want to see people just coming and seeing what the Lord is really doing and contribute, you know, to the kingdom of work. So visit. As the Lord just in blessing you, yes, financial support, I don't deny that. We need. You need us and we need you to really bring this big change to the dying world. Our world is really dying. In Africa, here, Europe, Asia, name it. Yeah, we need to support one another. Probably we cannot send, you know, some financial support here, but a day and a time will come when we're going to send, you know, a support to this country or to another place. Already we have started in India, just in a very small scale. And it will come. It will come. Even, you know, I have a faith that, you know, before I die, I will see that's happening. That will happen. So material support, like Bibles, you know. For us, you know, Bible is about $6. Is that right, last time you came? Was that six?
Five to six.
Yeah, in fact, he went and checked, you know, the Bible society. But, you know, for our people to spend $5 is really like climbing a big mountain, really, without any support. Tough. So, as the Lord just, you know, bless you, speak to your soul, help, you know, on the purchasing Bibles. Also, we're really planning, like, churches are really being planted everywhere, and we need building. When I said building, you know, just, you know, four walls and a roof over our head. That's all. We don't really care for the other things. I mean, he's a living witness. When we go to one of the churches, there was four benches? Some old benches. The rest, they're just sitting, you know, on a piece of log on the floor. I mean, there, you know, you start preaching, you can keep, you know, the congregation for 3-4 hours. Even if you want, and you can keep them all day long. They are very hungry, very thirsty to hear the word of God. So as the Lord just, you know, bless you, you can be through IOI, you know. And then he talked about the sanctuary building, which that's going to happen sometime soon. Also, we asking you to participate on that. I would like just to read, you know, a passage here before I close. From the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11 to 12, Amos. Book of Amos, chapter 8. It says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. I believe when the IMB send, you know, those missionaries, and still they are sending, and you are also sending, because I've seen, you know, on the desk there, you know, you have about 4 or 5 missionaries in Asia and North Africa. God bless you. Looks to me, you really understood this verse clearly. Amos was really speaking. This is just written 2,000 years ago, years ago. And this passage, it speaks for itself. It says, you know, a time will come. I mean, here, in the land of plenty, you have everything you need. You have food, more than you need. I mean, everything is big here. Everything, you know. I mean, there is no little thing. Praise the Lord. But, I also feel and see you have people dying and going to hell because of not hearing the word of God. Either they hear and not respond, or never hear the word and dying and go to hell. Especially, I mean, if we all just, you know, share our faith and people ignore, as Ezekiel said, it's not our business. We are clean from the blood. But if we're kind of quiet and people are just dying, he is going to ask us. He says, a time will come, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, just to seek, to find him. He says, it will be too late and they will not find him. So what is our responsibility today? I mean, many churches in other parts of the world, from my reading, probably maybe true here too, preaching the gospel, they say it is a job that's given to the pastor. The rest, no. We all are priests. We all who live in this New Testament life, we are all priests. We have to share about salvation. Probably you may not have the knowledge, you know, to go into all the doctrines teaching, doctrinal teaching. But the basic foundation teachings, I mean, we don't really have any excuse to say, I'm not going to do it. Or I'm tired. Or I don't have the time. Oh, no, it's kind of forbidden. If it's just telling someone, he may reject it. It's up to him. Let him reject. But my job is just to say, hey, brother, God loves you. He wants you just to be the part of the kingdom. He wants you to be son and daughter. Because he created you. Now he wants you just to be his possession. So what do you feel today? Do you know your neighbors? It's amazing. You know what I'm really seeing here and in Africa. Really. I'm telling you this, because this is just from my observation. I said I've been here, about 4 times, and still it is the same. Even it might get worse. You don't know. A house 3 blocks from you, by name. But if you ask me in my neighborhood, I'm having a living witness here, the whole community, by name, by profession, how many kids they have. We know what they do, what they want, So that means, we are people oriented. You are here time oriented. It's amazing. And everybody just, living in their closed door, in the comfort zone, which is okay. But when it comes to life, I'm sure we have to tell people. And sometimes we expect people to come to the church. Why? I mean, what will happen if they are not coming? Who's going to go to these people and share this message of Jesus the Christ about his birth, death, and resurrection? Who's going to tell them? Probably they may tune their TV and maybe get some message. Okay, but how about if not? If not, they are not interested, you know, to listen that. Folks, this is the time. Yes, you have everything you need, but your people need Jesus more than anything. Otherwise, I'm afraid, you know, you're really sending missionaries. I'm afraid this thing is gonna really cut down because you'll not have anyone interested to go overseas. Because we're beginning to see many churches in the United States and Great Britain, they used to send missionaries, now they're really just cutting the number. Well, they said, you know, the reason is just, you know, economic. Yes, but money is not that a big deal. Still you have excess. Still, you know, you talk about, you know, the economy is falling, but still, you know, people are just eating, people are just buying, people are selling, people still have an excess. Maybe I'm ignorant on this, but this is just what we've been feel inside. The opportunity is really just now. There are people who say, you know, who shall show us the good in Psalms, if you read. Don't think these people are in Africa or another part of the world. Here, the next door. Who's going to show us good? What is this good? It's Jesus. Who's going to tell us? So it's the responsibility. It's not only the pastor's responsibility or the key, church leaders or elders or the deacons. It is all of us who came to this salvation and walk in the light. We have to go and preach the gospel. This is the time. This is the day. We're not really sure about tomorrow, whether we're going to make it or not. But we believe the God who started the work will take us to the end. Really just to look. So let us do our best. You know, there is a fear. Yes, I can understand. We all have fears. But our God is there, you know, to take out these fears. We'll say, how about if I just tell him about Jesus? We'll say, no. Satan will just put that. Flesh is just putting that. The old Adam just comes here and says, you know, oh, it's not your responsibility to do that. And he'll not listen to you. Said, just, you know, maybe you'll have another person. And then when you see another person, you say, oh, you'll have another one. And then you're going to miss all these opportunities. So I said, you know, just kneel down. Said, Lord, just help me. If you can use anyone, use me today. Let me show you your miracle. The Lord who has done, you know, his miracle through all these years. Currently, he is doing in the Church of America, in each and every individual. So let us just, you know, hold together, walk in the light, and share this good, wonderful news. Says, you know, but of hearing of the word of the Lord, they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. When this happens, we will regret. Sometimes we lost a friend or relative and we begin to say, oh, I wish I could have told him about the Lord. That is too late. But still we have a second chance to tell to another person. That one is gone. We can't help it. We can't help it. That's already gone. But we have another person in front of us. The next door. Yeah. Let's have this, you know, boldness in us. Let this just, you know, come outside and just, you know, share. Otherwise, I have a fear. The church is really getting weak and weak and weak. See the congregation we have. See the auditorium, the sanctuary we have. Is every seat has been taken, or still we have empty seats? Why? God is not really want, you know, for people to come to this church? We have to ask ourselves. Yes, we have to pray. We have to support the ministers, the pastors. We have to just kneel down, say, Lord, just, you know, give us, you know, new faces, new people coming. Probably may not be visited, but I mean, to all churches. Because we have people dying. You know, they have, as I said, you know, you have plenty to eat for your body, but almost zero for soul. And man cannot live only on bread. No way. It seems, but no way. No way. So let's just, you know, work hard and really preach this gospel. Well, I have one place to share, and then on Hebrew 6, 10 and 12. Hebrews 6. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name. In that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you shows the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God bless you. Keep praying for us. And we're going to pray for you too. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's just take in a few minutes. And ask his forgiveness. Let us see how our days went by. Just as we were coming here, so many things, you know, in our soul going up and down. Last night, this last week, we had so many ups and downs of life. But what was God really telling us to do? Just to confess it. Any sins that you are really aware of, any struggle you have, folks, just please give it to the Lord. Give it to him. Don't be afraid and shy. He knows every bit of the things that you have inside. There are so many things that we really, you know, hang on, you know, that we really don't want to give it to him. But the Spirit of God is saying, you know, just release it. Give it to me. He'll fix it. Let's just confess. Say, just, Lord, just forgive me. Many of us, you know, probably have not really gone through the week reading our Bibles, or did not really have, you know, good prayer time. We're busy with work, busy with so many things. But the Lord says, you know, first seek me. First seek me. Come to me. He says, I'll just give you rest. Be still and know that I'm Lord. So let's just confess, you know, all our shortcomings. Let the whole, just allow the Holy Spirit, you know, to show you, to show us, every one of us, this morning, where we've been just goofing, you know, where we are not really going with him, you know, in good spirit. And then we'll just give it to him. And then after that, I will just close in prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, help me, Lord. Thank you for all my laziness, Lord. My weaknesses. You are a mighty God, Lord. Praise be to you, Lord. Oh, Holy Jesus. Of God, Holy Spirit, the Father, why don't you just forgive me, Lord, for being lazy, not really taking time in prayer, let you not tread on your word. Help me, Lord, I'm just busy with so many things and forget about you. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you very much for the day you have given us. It is because of you we are here alive and worshiping you, Lord. You have given us the faith to know you more. Lord, you have blessed us with everything we need. But Lord, many times we forget you and focus on only on the blessings. We have to focus on you day in, day out. You are a loving God. You are a God who never fails anyone who comes to you. I'm just lifting up myself and all these beautiful men and women of yours. People with faith to serve you, Lord, that you fix their problems and my problems. There are so many things that we're really fighting that we cannot fix it. But now we are giving it to you, Lord, because you have the power to do it. You are an awesome God. You are a loving God. You are a God who always, you know, listen and fix things. Jesus, you are the one who just died for me and for these people and for the whole world just to save us. Now I'm just recalling the day of my salvation, the day that you have just picked me from the pit. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Still, your blood is just fresh. Still, you are just calling your people to come to you. Still, you are reminding us, you know, how you are loving us. Lord, we live on this world where things are busy and making us busy, and we forgot about you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Let we all focus on you. Only you, Jesus, Son of God. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity you have given me. Thank you, Jesus, you know, to see all these fine women and men of yours who are really supporting us. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit moving, you know, here and just, you know, showing things to us. Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, thank you for your guidance. Father, thank you for calling us to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.